Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in franchising, business, and high-performance personal development. Today's guest is the Chief Growth Officer with Fishman PR. He routinely co-hosts the Modern Business Podcast. He also runs the Franchise Supplier Network and runs the Young Conference. Zach Fishman, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be on the other side for once. I feel like I never get to be the interviewee. So thanks for having me.
Let's go. Yeah, it's a pleasure. Shoot, let's jump right in. How did franchising find you, Zach?
I know, I'm sure a lot of people that you have on the show typically give the "I fell into it on accident" answer. And that's a lot of what I hear on mine. But I would say for me, it was pretty on purpose. My parents have been in franchising, both of which for a considerable amount of time. They've been running our PR firm together for 31 years now. And my mother has been in franchising since she was 23. So it was her first job out of college. And for me, if I'm being honest, I always wanted to be my parents. A lot of kids when they were younger wanted to be a firefighter, to be a basketball player, especially because I'm in Chicago. They wanted to be Michael Jordan. And for me, I always had an interest in franchising and in business and in entrepreneurship. And specifically, it's such a consistent thing within franchising that we see it was a young entrepreneur like my mom, who was my age. She was 29 when she started the firm, and it was female founded, all of that great stuff. These are stories that we hear in franchising all the time. And it really motivated me to wanting to get into the space and follow both of their footsteps.
Oh, that's awesome. Such a unique blessing. And you said something that I absolutely love. You said most kids or people grow up and they want to be this or that, but you specifically wanted to follow in your parents' footsteps. What were some aspects of how they lived their life and specifically how they lived out their career? What are some things you think back on that I hear so much? It's not about what you say, how you raise your kids, but more so they catch what you do. What were some of the things that Sherry and Brad did that you caught that gave you the franchise bug?
I think that from my father, and for those who have met Brad Fishman, they will know that he is certainly one of a kind. But I think that one thing that I took from him in particular, and it is very helpful when it comes to business development, which is how I spend a lot of my time when it comes to the PR business and really just understanding people in my personal life as well, is just being able to read body language and being able to understand how people are thinking based off of how they respond. I think nonverbal context cues are super important. He's really good at that. And I think that has allowed me to really level up, so to speak, when it comes to sales, when it comes to dating, when it comes to really anything. I hope my girlfriend would agree, but I think that it really has helped me to be able to leverage what I think I'm good at and being able to read people and understand people to my advantage and for the other person's advantage too. For my mother, I think that I gained patience. I am somebody who works very quickly, but at the same time, I don't expect people to be working as quickly as I am for the most part. I am a pretty person, and I think that I gained that from her. She is a very compassionate woman. I think you have to be if you're in the PR business. You have a lot of clients who can oftentimes be very difficult, and you have to show empathy for them. And I think that's something that I certainly learned from her. It's certainly not something that my father really has all that much of, but we love him anyways. But I think that I learned very particular things from them. And I think that furthermore, from both of them, I think that from franchising, from an entrepreneurship standpoint, I learned a lot about that and wanting to be my own person and not necessarily wanting to work for a big corporate entity. I think that's something that I learned from both, because they have had this entrepreneurial spirit that has really been instilled in me. And I look for that in myself. I look for that in the person that I want to be with. I've always been attracted to friends and to women who in my life who share that love of working and loving the idea of building something with their own two hands or with their mind. And I think that I got that from both.
Yeah, what a beautiful juxtaposition there. Yeah, that's great to hear, Zach. And such a unique combination there of influence, and can most certainly see both of those things in yourself, being great with people, being incredibly patient and exercising a lot of empathy. I definitely commend you for both of those things. Similar, for those that don't necessarily know, Brad and Sherry Fishman, your parents are most certainly franchise icons and deserve that reputation. They work so hard and bring so much value to the franchise space and to franchisors like myself. But just curious, Zach, what was it like to be raised and to have franchise icons as your parents?
Well, I think that there are pros and cons to it, certainly. I think that from a pro perspective, it really allowed me to have access to people at a very young age that really shaped who I am today. A lot of my mentors have been people who have started multi-million dollar companies that have really helped to shape who I am, how I interact with people, how I think about business. And I like to say that despite the fact that my parents sent me to a wonderful school in George Washington, all that I have learned and most of what has made me who I am today is from the connections that I had at a very young age. I was consistently interested in speaking to adults, and I was always a very inquisitive person, which would shape my podcast career in the future, which was good. And I think that the con of it is really that if you don't really treat it the right way, it is really hard to escape from that shadow. And this is a conversation that I have with my brother, my little brother, Jake, who you know quite well, Nick, all the time. And that being able to try and find a way to mold your own path in the franchise space is really important. There are many examples of second generation families that are going into taking over the business someday or trying to blaze their own path. And I'm no different. I really try my best to strike off on my own and try to go to work for other companies before I came into the family business later. And I think that really helped to shape me, become who I am today, be an asset for them instead of relying on them. We rely on each other, which I think is a really big thing that we both wanted to be able to instill and try to carry that on in Jake today as well. And I think that he's doing an awesome job in doing that too. So it is hard at times, but at the same time, I'm more grateful for it.
And most certainly blazing your own path, most certainly. How have Brad and Sherry helped you level up as a franchise leader?
Yeah. So I think that when I got into this space, I was on the marketing realm and then I went into franchise development in terms of the supplier side. And now I'm straddling both. And the way that I see it from a franchise leader perspective, they got me really interested in all aspects of franchising and not just narrowed in on one thing. I try my best to be very well-rounded. And I think that's something that they instilled in me very early on. Rather, it's understanding the broker space and understanding which technologies people should be potentially working with or what's going to be best for them. And we'll get into how I tie that all in later, all into private equity and M&A, getting into the franchise space in a really big way in the past 5 to 7 years. I think that that has all really shaped who I've become. And that's all thanks to what my parents are interested in and what they really enjoy about franchising is that being a jack of all trades is honestly the biggest asset that I can have is to be that way. And my parents both really are that way too. I like to say that when you're working with us at Fishman, you get our team, right? And when you're working at Franchise Elevator, you get our team. But when you have us, you get that extra layer of the Fishmans, the people who are not doing your PR, but whose name is on the door in your corner, being able to help and make introductions for you. It's really an intangible that we have that others don't. And that's why people come to us really for anything. And it's why we kind of touch conferences and the broker world and private equity and suppliers and which one to work with and everything. And that's something that they instilled in me very early on to help me level up as a person. And I needed that to be able to take who I am to greater heights.
I think more of what you're saying, Zach, is people skills, leading through connecting with people, whether it's the listening and the patience, the empathy, or just understanding nonverbal cues. And as you mentioned, private equity, technology, suppliers, conferences, whatever it may be, people are people. And so much of how you have leveled up as a leader in franchising is just being a great communicator. Ah, that most certainly makes sense, Zach. Where are some areas that you feel like you've had to improve as you've made this new transition to a growth officer with Fishman PR? I'm sure you've had to level up in areas. What has that process been like? How have you leveled up to step into that role?
When I first got started here at Fishman / Franchise Elevator as well, for me, I had some very key goals that I was going to start with just because they had never had a business development focused person. My father, as the founder, it was very similar to a franchise. He was the founder that was doing a lot of the sales, and he transitioned to hiring somebody different as they matured as a brand. And that's where I came in. And for me, I really had to level up into being, I guess, a little bit more ingrained in everything aside from sales. I was very siloed into that. And I think that it was partially the pandemic that changed that for us, because I had to dip my toes into things that I maybe wasn't so comfortable with or that I didn't really know how to do. Thankfully, I like to think I'm a quick study, and we figured it out. But I think also being responsible with having that C-suite to my name, I think was a big deal for me. And I don't, and I never have taken it lightly. I liked it. My father is not exactly the biggest on titles, and it doesn't necessarily matter. Your responsibility is your responsibility, but everybody else, and being at a PR firm, the outside appearance is a lot as well. And so I think that for me, I needed to be sure that I was really being the role model that I should be to our staff. Believe it or not, I am middle-aged for our staff at 29 years old, which is crazy, but it is the way that it is in the PR marketing world. But I think that really at the end of the day, I had to take on some responsibility into getting into operations and into hiring and into B2B marketing in ways that I never really had. And I think that comes with the territory of being in the C-suite. And so that's really the big thing that I had to change, is that I couldn't just be a sales guy. I had to be a coach a little bit too. I'm all the better for it. And I think that it has been a really great, God, has it already been, it's been almost 8 months now that I've been in the role. But I think that for me, it has been a major difference.
I love that you said that. First of all, you said Brad's not really big into titles, and that C-suite title is a big title, but it goes back to the team and being a good coach. I love that you said that. It's just paramount what you're accountable to for your team and being successful in that C-suite role. What was your position prior to the chief growth officer role?
It was a title that nobody still to this day knows the meaning of, but it was a director of innovation. It was purposely vague because it was uncharted territory for us, right? We had never had anybody that filled our role before. And I think that it was, for those, again, listening, who have met my father, they know that he is somebody who is very hands-on. And I think that it was going to be a bit of a change for him to transition into more of an advisor role with sales and taking on more of the CEO duties that he had, and not having to play or coach quite as much. But I think that for us, as we quickly found out that sales was going to be paramount, especially during the pandemic, we were going to need to probably turn on the sales engine a bit to be able to make up and make sure that people are keeping their jobs and things like that. And so that's what it turned into over the course of time.
What an important responsibility, helping grow the business, taking that broad title and clearly becoming really focused on one avenue. I think you're doing an incredible job. And wow, what an exciting advancement in your career, Zach. I always enjoy our time together and working with your family. It's really been a joy. And so you're doing a tremendous job. Keep it up. But I want to transition a little bit here and talk about some tips, right? Clearly, you and your family are incredible at PR. So what are some tips that you would help our viewers level up around when they are implementing PR?
Yeah, so I think there's really three things that I want to mention. I think that what I'll start with is that rather you are a brand that is in home services, or you are in B2B services, or you're the next great food brand, I think that being able to have some type of consistency when a brand first opens up in that new market for the first time is really important. I think that has varying degrees. Fishman with more retail-based models, and at Franchise Elevator as well, it is more common for us to have a pretty streamlined program. But I also encourage people that are even in the home commercial service, whatever that may be, where there isn't a retail component to it, to have something consistent where when somebody signs on for the first time, to be that franchisee, you as a franchisor have something to be able to tell them that is in your systems that they will have And I think that's been really important. I've seen a lot of things as it relates to non-retail brands where it's very charity focused and everything in between. And that's been a really helpful thing for a lot of our clients. And I know, Nick, you included, that have really benefited from having that consistency. Having some type of budget set aside for a grand opening program of some sort is really important to be able to provide consistency, because that's what franchising is all about, right? So that's the first thing. I would say secondarily, from a consumer perspective, I think that being able to highlight a lot of the ways that you're giving back to the community and being able to intertwine that with being able to sell franchises simultaneously is a really big deal. A lot of people believe that consumer PR and franchise development PR need to be very separate. One's really fun and one's really not. We really believe at Fishman that they are intertwined into one thing, and that you have the ability to really be that brand that is really fun, but at the same time can sell franchises simultaneously, or that really does a great job at giving back to the community and is a business that is really trying to help people like a Lime, and being able to tie that into some charitable component and why somebody would want to be a part of a brand like that, I think is really key when it comes to being able to find brand loyalty and become that thought leader in your particular industry. And lastly, I'll finish with, because really our DNA is franchise PR, and that's really how we got started. The big thing for us is being able to find some type of way as it relates to franchise development to tackle some type of trend and not necessarily be afraid to speak about the things that may be a bit uncomfortable. I think a lot of people have been seeing things about inflation, and they've been seeing things about supply chain issues and about employment issues. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being able to comment on what you're trying to do to rectify those situations and kind of taking something that may be construed as bad, being able to talk about that. Because at the end of the day, I believe that type of news is also going to be important, because franchisees not only want to see why you're the best brand in the upscale home painting industry, but they also want to know how you're going to handle the problems that are going to come as their franchisees and as in their kind of their life cycle with you. And being able to have them see that play out in the media is a really big deal. And I think that every brand, no matter what industry you're in, should be prepared to answer those questions. And it's okay to do that, because I think that it's what we like to call it is newsjacking in the PR space. And that's something that we do across a lot of our clients, is being able to bring it to you, Nick, for instance, and say, would you like to comment on the difficulties of being able to find staff? What are you guys doing to rectify that situation? Me knowing that you have a good answer to that question, that's only going to make you guys look better, because you have thought about everything that is plaguing the economy and you have a good answer for it. So those are the three things that I would say dividing between local PR, consumer PR, and then franchise development.
What a great combination of tips there to help when implementing PR. It's pretty broad there, but very impactful advice. That last one I wasn't necessarily expecting, but makes so much sense. And you definitely need to be tactful with and need to have advisors to help you with that. Give back piece, I think there's so much, you know, when it comes to business, there's such a culture around the opposite, not giving back and not being a purpose-driven organization. Granted, it is becoming more of a norm, but I think traditionally that there's been more so the opposite. And so seeing that evolution play out has most certainly been pretty interesting. But frankly, you mentioned Lime being an organization that we are a social franchise. We values driven. We very much focus on giving back. And that's a lot of my personal values. But from a business standpoint, I think businesses are doing more and more of a better job of educating students on the importance of doing that. And so I'm such an advocate of it. You being a thought leader in PR, I love that that's a core to some of your tips around leveling up. So if you're not doing that, I would highly advise you to consider some ways that your organization can build that into your culture. So thanks for that, Zach. Shifting gears here a little bit. I'm a franchise owner, and I want to generate leads. What are some tips for implementing PR from a franchise owner standpoint? How can I do that? How can I generate leads from PR?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that the name of the game, especially in when it comes to anything from home service to fitness, is being able to do something along the lines of getting people through your door, booking job. That's really what it's all about. There's varying different vernacular for that, but they all mean the same thing. Trying to book some type of pre-sale or some type of job for something. And PR does a really great job of doing that, but it is a very nuanced answer. It's really divided into two places. I think the first thing is, from a national perspective as a brand, it is really beneficial for a franchise owner to be able to putting some type of money towards the franchisor, also known as the ad fund, right? And a lot of that is being used for national advertising or national PR efforts. And at the end of the day, that whole ad fund is really going towards making your brand the preeminent brand in XYZ space, right? And so being that thought leader is a really big deal. And so through PR, that's typically the simplest way to achieve that. And you're typically doing that through going to Well and Good or going to Good Housekeeping or something of that nature, and being able to talk about why and what to do to prepare your house for the winter months and how that's going to associate with your home service brand or your commercial service brand, and you can switch that out for an office. So there's all sorts of things you can do there. That's a big deal for a franchise owner to be able to have that in their back pocket. It's not as direct, but I think that when people go online and they look up your brand, those are the types of things that they're going to see no matter where they're looking it up from. Now, more nuanced and more direct to the franchise owner is what we like to call our regional consumer approach. And that's really going to be that exact same idea, but instead of having the CEO of your entire brand be that thought leader or be that person, it's you. And being able to position you as a franchise owner to be able to speak on that topic and how you're doing and manifesting the ideals of your brand locally, I think is a really big deal. And that can be done through charity. It can be done through just the expertise. You can do that through telling a particular story from a human interest perspective. Maybe that franchisee has a really great story into why they decided to buy the brand, or maybe they're handing the brand off to their daughter or to their son for the first time after running it for 30 years. So there's all sorts of ideas and how that can play a role. But all of those things really generate leads, because our goal as a PR firm is to try and provide as much emotional connection to your prospective buyer as possible, whether it's a franchisee or it's somebody that's trying to purchase your services on a consumer level. And that's really the easiest way to do it, is to take the pen out of our hand or out of your hand, so to speak, and put it in somebody else's that doesn't need to write or show anything about you, but is doing it because they believe it's important.
Yeah, that's key there. Do you see any of those really standing out consistently as a really effective strategy for a franchise owner to generate leads?
Yeah, and I think that it definitely is a little bit more indirect rather than direct. But I think that it's one of the things that people will see first and foremost when they're looking up something about your brand. They're going to see that story somewhere. And I think that's going to make it more likely that they will have that brand loyalty with you and that they will trust you. Here at Fishman, we really prioritize this quite heavily. And at Franchise Elevator too, for that matter, which is really two metrics. I think the share of voice, so how often are you being talked about versus your other competitors, is a really big piece. It's kind of PR's version of competitive analysis. And as a franchise owner, you want to be as high up in that number as you possibly can. Thought leadership is going to help, whether it's on a national level or it's helping you more directly on a local level. But I think that more accurately, consumer sentiment is really what consumers and franchise owners care about. It's really about your trust factor. Do people trust you to really eat your food or to take your fitness class or to book you for that new home remodeling job? Those are the types of things that are really important. And that's where leads come in, is that the more people that trust you, the more likely it's going to be that people will use your business and that you will find more leads through it. And PR is the number one way to be able to build that trust with the general.
Said. Yeah, said. I seen a quote. And Bill Gates, someone had asked him, if you were down to your last dollars, what would you spend it on? And he said, PR. You just communicated that so well on a practical level. There is that consumer sentiment and trust there. You can't achieve that without PR and getting yourself out there. From a franchise owner standpoint, I don't know of very many, just thinking about my space and home services, when I search competitors, I'm not seeing results. In this context, more so just seeing general search results, you can really differentiate yourself as a franchise owner in leveraging a lot of what you're already doing, but giving it a voice, if you will. Awesome. Thanks, Zach. I'm sure our viewers leveled up from those tips. Again, I want to shift a little bit here and transition into the Franchise Supplier Network, which you co-own. I'm curious, how does that organization help Zoars like myself level up?
it's a new thing that you'll be learning a little bit more about at Springboard. I think that it's something that has been the brainchild of really all four of our partners, Lane Fisher, Brad Fishman, my father, myself, and then Ryan Hicks, who's our really our managing partner and who has taken on day-to-day operations really as recently as about 15 days ago. And we made our first hire, which I'll be able to share a little bit more about on Wednesday and all of that great stuff in between. But really, Franchise Supplier Network for us is being able to provide a place for franchisors to go to and really know all the questions that they have answers to avoid all the research that they typically have to do when it comes to suppliers and knowing the differences and the pros and the cons between all of them. We're going to have the people will be able to opt into as members of Franchise Supplier Network. And it's a pretty small fee for them to be able to do that. So I think that the goal is to be able to stay as unbiased as we can because of that small fee. We want to be able to only have the people who are serious to be able to get the rights to be able to speak to our many of our friends who are going to be inbounding with us to learn more. We have the ability to get on the phone and do consultative calls with franchisors to be able to talk them through the different options that they may have, rather it's for a new CRM system to finding that Nest social media management platform to really being able to understand what POS they may want to go into. I would say that's the major fine points of it. I would say lastly, we are going to be running quite a bit of content at Franchise Supplier Network. We are starting a new podcast that is going to be specifically focused towards buyers in the space, just like Modern Business, which we'll talk about in a little bit, except it will be suppliers instead of franchisors. And this is really for purposes of suppliers being able to use that content to send to franchisors that will live on our website for their particular listing and everything in between. We will also be writing blog posts and bylines, and we'll be having a newsletter, all in the name of being able to educate franchisors and help them understand and get past all of that supplier jargon that they always have to try and get through. A lot of people, especially in marketing, use a lot of the same words that don't really mean a lot. Our goal is to be able to translate for you and to allow you guys to be able to take advantage of all the great supplier partners that we have in franchising, while yet at the same time, not having to do the research for it.
Does anything like that currently exist, Zach?
There's not, no. It is quite an undertaking, I will be honest. It has taken 2 years for us to really get into focus in the right way that we want to get it into focus. And now that we finally have that all done, the website will be launched tomorrow. So for folks who want to learn a little bit more about it, it's www.franchisesuppliernetwork.com. Everything will be live. And I think that for us, it's just an opportunity to be able to give back to the franchise community, similar to a lot of the other things that we do. Springboard and with Unconference and with Young Conference, which we'll talk about, our goal is to be able to help franchisors to get through all the muddiness that franchising may have occasionally and not make it so hard.
Yeah, personally, I can relate being a franchisor and really launching into the franchise space. Started by joining the IFA back in 2016 or so. I took a very slow approach. I received my CFE, a Certified Franchise Executive designation. Really did exactly what you're talking about, the due diligence of meeting the suppliers and understanding who's who and what to do and what not to do. But it took me, my gosh, 2 years to really do that and to travel to all of those conferences to receive those credits and meet those individuals. Granted, I highly recommend doing that in addition to this, but
yes,
this didn't exist for me. And so I can just imagine how much more clear the world of franchising would have been with something like Franchise Supplier Network. Oh my gosh, when I asked, does something like this exist? I'm like, I missed it. But yeah, this is truly an innovative organization. And I can see your previous title, Director of Innovation. Innovation's here. It's all coming together. But that sounds, I look forward to learning more about it. I'm sure I'll participate in it and learn a lot. But it sounds like this was something that's been coming together for a couple of years now that came about during COVID.
No, it did. It's really been something that my father, Brad, has unofficially been doing for many years. He sits on many boards and franchising of many companies that you use every day. And I think that over the course of time, it has evolved into something much different and where he wanted to be able to have some of his younger colleagues or his son, whichever he decides to call me on that given day, to be able to carry that torch on to do a lot of the dirty work. And that's really what I have been doing, but in a greater way, what Ryan has been doing over the course of the past couple of months to be able to make it a reality. So we're really excited to launch it. As of this recording, Springboard is going to be starting officially in 2 days on the 28th, and that's when we'll be announcing it to the world. So very excited.
Ah, Congrats. And like I said, I'm looking forward to learning more and participating. Once again, I want to transition here. Clearly, Zach, you're doing a lot of things. You've done a lot of things throughout your career. Another very important project that you've been a part of and ran is the Young Conference. So what have you learned in your experiences through the Young Conference?
Yeah, there's so many young CEOs like yourself, Nick, that have been able to give back to the franchise community and helping each other learn from each other. It really was an idea that we weren't entirely sure would have a lot of pickup. We knew that there were a lot of CEOs that were under 40, under 45, but we didn't really know just how many there were until we did that research and we started to meet those people. And I think that we knew a lot, but it has given us access to so many more people than we would have imagined. And it really is our franchise version of YPO. And I think it has made a big difference for us to be able to provide that type of service for people that are young in the franchise space, because I think that there is that missing link of Gen X where there aren't really a lot of CEOs that are in that particular demographic. But then you jump down a little bit from the baby boomers and there's all these millennials that decided that they wanted to start their own brand. When people like yourself and myself, Nick, that want to be able to network and know each other and join arms and walk through this industry for another 30, 35 years. That's really what we're trying to instill, is that camaraderie between all of those people. And that's what Young Conference has really done for us. And we've had the opportunity to have two in person and one virtually. And as luck would have it, I was actually just on the phone before this trying to figure out where we're going to do Young Conference next year, which is looking like it will be in May of 23 and it will stay there in May every year. But we're very excited for what the future holds for that. And it's something that Ryan and I ideated at an unconference that you, I believe, were at, Nick. And I think that made a pretty big deal. That made it a pretty big thing for us to be able to carry that forward into future generations when we're considered old and maybe the Gen Zs are doing something like this too.
Appreciate you doing that, Zach. And it's been a great platform for me personally to do just that, lock arms with other CEOs that we're all going through the same thing, same questions, same space in franchising, mm-hmm. and just give such a simple and unique platform to share information. And I enjoyed the one I went to last year in Fort Lauderdale. Are you guys thinking about doing it in Fort Lauderdale again, or not sure on the location?
It might be in Fort Lauderdale. It might be in Chicago. It might be in Nashville. We're down to a couple, about those three or four options right now. That's what it's looking awesome. Like.
Either one would be fantastic. So, Zach, why do you love franchising so much?
I'll try to give a brief answer. I think that for me, obviously it's family to me, right? And when I explain this to people who are not in the space, they're a bit confused as to why I would be texting with somebody from franchising on the weekend, or why they may be staying at my house, or why I would take time out of my day to talk to somebody on a Sunday afternoon about football, but also they're my client at the same time. Like, they don't really understand that franchising doesn't really just turn off at 5 p.m. on Friday. And I love that aspect of it, because it doesn't feel like work when they're people that you like hanging out with. And to me, it never does. But I think that more from a business perspective, I love franchising because there is no other example of anything on earth that spans so many different industries. Yes, I believe that franchising is a business model and that's what carries it together. But at the same time, it is an industry in itself too. And I just love the camaraderie that comes with franchising and the many different aspects of it. It allows me to be fluent in so many different areas of business. And I think that it allows me to be able to connect with so many different people, because the entire point of franchising is for everybody to enjoy all over the world, right? That's really our goal. I can connect with anybody that I meet because of franchising. They may not even know that they interact with three franchises a week or maybe more. And I think that's the best part. I am sure I am just like everybody else that's listening to this, that is a franchise person. When you're driving down the street with a bunch of friends who aren't in the space, and you can say, that's a franchise, that's a franchise, that's my client. Do people get annoyed a little bit? Yeah. But do they learn something? Yeah. And so that's what I love about franchising. And it's something that has been instilled in me from a very early age, obviously, as we discussed. And I hope someday I'm lucky enough to have children of my own that I'm able to do the same.
Well said, Zach. The franchise family is definitely alive, very much a thing. And you communicated it so well. And if you learned anything today, my goodness, I'm sure you learned plenty. But Zach, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Happy to help, man. Thank you for having me. And I'm happy to be a guest for once and looking forward to seeing you in just a couple short days.
Absolutely. So if anyone would like to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Sure. So my email, I have many, but the easiest one to reach me at is a zfish, so zfish at fishmanpr.com. And you can also reach me. I'm happy to give out my cell phone too. It's 847-373-8873. For those who do want to send me a quick text or give me a call if they need anything, always happy to be able to answer any questions that I can answer for you.
You heard it right from Zach. Give him a call, give him a text, shoot him an email. Clearly, this was a tremendous show. Hope that you leveled up. Give this video a like if you'd like to learn more from thought leaders in franchising, business, and high performance personal development. But more importantly, go down into the comments and contribute to this conversation. We covered so many tremendous things that go into implementing PR successfully, but even more doing business. Business is such a people business, and it all comes down to people. And clearly today, Zach demonstrated his heart for people and service and the space that he's in. So please drop a comment. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.